The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Look that up, USA Inc., for more information. There are too many search engines out here for people to be ignorant about anything, really. It is a Monday. Today's date is December the 5th, 2016. Shout out to all of those who made it on the other side of the weekend. Didn't get caught up by the slave catchers. Did not get genocided in any kind of way. At least we hope, but we know there were plenty of victims. So let's always remember that and be motivated to work to, as Mr. Neely Fuller would say, replace a system of racism with a system based on justice. Unfortunately, today the theme of today's program will be about injustice. We'll continue to do our job in just pointing out historic and current trauma that is being inflicted criminally against non-white people in this universe, really. But we are based here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., so we tend to focus what's going on here. We are not ignoring our sisters and brothers out there in the diaspora. And actually, I got a news story out of Ghana, as we just got through reaching out to Ghana through our social media outreach program, and the people that we reach through social media tend to like Black Talk Radio. So we're just trying to continue to open up the lines of communication to the diaspora. We're currently running a promo to market to our brothers and sisters in Jamaica. So if you are tuned in right now, greetings to you and welcome to Black Talk Radio Network. I know somebody in Jamaica left a comment saying they had never heard of Black Talk Radio Network before now, as they left that on the promo. So we hope that brother is tuned in. Hope that they will also call in. Let me get these telephone numbers out. Please write them down if you have not already memorized them. We do have a guest today, and we only have her for a short time. So please, if you have any questions or comments for our distinguished guest today, Ms. Pam Africa, the Minister of Confrontation for the MOVE organization. And you can find out more about them by going to onamove.org. She is also the chairwoman of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Go check out more information at freemumia.com. And she will be joining us by phone on today's broadcast. In fact, I'll be giving her a call here in just a bit. So the telephone numbers are 866-510-9025. That is 866-510-9025 in North Carolina, or it's usually local for people with cell phone plans. 704-802-5056. Hit ** when we call for comments. That'll unmute you and we'll call out your name or your area code. And so write those numbers down. We'll be joined in just a bit. Hopefully we can connect with Miss Pam Africa again. This is what we'll be speaking to her about on the 6th. Ramona Africa will have an appearance on Inside the Activist Studio. That's going to be a film going to retell again, and she needs to retell it as many times as she feels like she needs to. But the state city sponsored terrorism that she faced in the 1985 bombing of the MOVE compound in West Philadelphia. She was the sole adult survivor of this unprosecuted crime. So again, today's theme is what? Justice. But unfortunately, we're going to talk a lot about injustice. And many of these things, like the 1985 bombing on the Moog compound, these are still prosecutable crimes. So we'll be talking to her, Miss Pam Africa, about that and about worldwide events organized by activists and supporters of Momia Abu-Jamal, a current political prisoner. This is going to take place on December the 9th, and that marks the 1981 attempted assassination of Momia Abu-Jamal by state sponsors of terrorism. I'm talking about USA Inc., the city, the state. That when we say state-sponsored terrorism, we're referring to state as a form of government, often collusions between the federal, the state, and the cities or towns, counties, whatever. Just total participation in unprosecuted terrorism. We do have some other stories related to the assaults on black activists back in the 60s. We got Bobby Rush, who was a current U.S. House representative of the and also a former Black Panther Party. Over the weekend, he gave an interview. He detailed assassination attempts and how he had to go underground. And we got a couple of other stories that are related, but let's go ahead and see if we can connect with Miss Africa. Have the phone number right in front of me. Let me just go ahead and add her, and we'll get started. So, yes, be talking a lot about terrorism today. Also, I like what Colin Kaepernick is still doing despite the criticism and the questions that people ask about his continued protests of the Slavers Anthem, as I call it, the Slavers Anthem. Others might know it as the National Anthem. I call it the Slavers Anthem because it was written by the slaver, celebrating the murder of enslaved Africans fighting for freedom, or enslaved black people, period, fighting for freedom. And I do believe we are joined by our guest. And let me just give one more quick information to those who have not heard of our guest, as we do have an international audience, but she should be internationally known, being that she's the chairwoman of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Momia Abu-Jamal. Again, check out freemomia.com, but also the Minister of Confrontation for MOVE, and you can visit on amove.org for more information. Thank you for joining us today, Miss Africa. Greetings to you, Miss Africa.
Hello.
Hello. Greetings to you, ma'am.
Yes, I'm really at a disadvantage. I just got this thing that said join a conference call, so I'm not sure of what the call.
Oh, this is Black Talk Radio News. Oh, you were scheduled.
Oh, this is Black Talk Radio. Okay.
Yes,
all
right,
ma'am. I didn't know it was going to be a conference call, and I'm in a restaurant, and I'm trying to find a spot. But very quickly, on a move, family. Look, thanks for having me on. I just left the prison, and I'm visiting, you know, other members of my family. And are we talking about the upcoming event this weekend?
Yes, actually, a couple of events. We have Miss Ramona Africa appearing on Inside the Activist Studio on the 6th. And then also there are worldwide events being organized to, again, recognize the attempted assassination of Brother Momia on December the 9th. So if you could just quickly give us information about that, if you're able. I understand your circumstances.
Oh, yes, I'm able, and I'm going to have to do it really quick, right? And thanks again for, you know, Black Talk Radio and having this forum at this very important time. What's happening with Momia is that the prison, the government is refusing to give him a cure for hepatitis C. And the conditions that he's living in now, if you look at Momia, you heard Momia, and you know, you would think that he looks okay. and he sounds good, but if you're familiar with Mumia's breathing patterns, you can hear that he's having problems, you know, with breathing. He's had diarrhea for over two months, and his itching has increased, and they're giving him a medication. Rather than give him the cure, they're giving him a medicine called Otezla, and this medication causes the diarrhea. It causes memory loss at some point. It causes depression. It causes suicidal tendencies. And I know people saying, well, why the hell is he taking that? He's taking that because for over almost 2 years now, it might be a little over, and he has been itching. He has went to the point where he darn near died twice. And his body has been encased in a black substance, and where he had no pores. And this Otezla gives him some relief for a little bit of time.
And we're talking about Hep C, Miss Africa, right? I just want to point that out to listeners. They do have the cure for Hep C, and it's being made available for the public if you can afford it. And it's being denied to Mumia, who filed a court case. One was filed on his behalf to have access to this cure you're talking about. So just wanted to inform the listeners of what you were talking about, what he's actually trying to get relief from.
Right. The hepatitis C. Let me let you know, we have a case in court, and the judge has determined that, you know, to not give inmates the cure for hepatitis C is unconstitutional. We haven't made a move on it by giving, you know, a lot of the inmates, you know, the hepatitis C cure. And but, you know, they're holding that particular thing up. So what we're doing, we're putting a lot of pressure on the government. We've had city council in Philadelphia, the entire city council voted that, you know, they should be receiving this medication. The water in the prison is another thing, and this is something hepatitis C is nationally, is globally. And but the hepatitis C pill costs $1,000 per pill, and you have to take it on the course of 90 days. I just left the prison from visiting my brother Mike Africa, and he informed us that a brother just died up there. And they waited so long to give him the pill, they gave him one pill, and he died the following day before he can even get the second pill. This is how they're making you wait in order to get this pill. What's happening in that prison with this pill and the hepatitis C cure is nothing unique to Mumia. It's not that they're not giving it to Mumia. And Mumia is the case that's taking it worldwide, and the eyes is on Philadelphia about what is going on and the murders that are the deliberate murders that are happening inside that prison. Because anytime you had the cure for, you know, hepatitis C, and you allow a person to, and this is what the protocol says, the prison protocol states very clearly, in order for you to get the hepatitis C cure, over 60% of your liver has got to be calcified, hardened with the
cirrhosis
of the liver.
Wow, I mean, that is just ridiculous.
Right. Let me tell you, it gets more ridiculous and treacherous. And your blood vessels in your chest have got to be busted. You have got to be bleeding from your esophagus before your name goes on the list to get the cure. To get the cure. This is what's going on.
And this is the state of Pennsylvania, right? Miss Africa, we are talking about the Pennsylvania correction system.
Yes. And in fact, we have so much pressure on this government and on the prisons.
In the snows of North Dakota, they were digging in for the long haul. This camp is the largest gathering of Native Americans in living memory. They had come here to fight a pipeline.
I'm sorry, we are getting some interference coming from somewhere. I'll straighten that out. I was actually on YouTube showing the event that is on freemomia.com in a video or something started up. So apologies, listeners. Apologies, Miss Africa. Please continue, and please tell people about the December 9th event that will take place in Philadelphia so we can get the community to turn out and support.
Right. Right. We're starting at 3 o'clock at the Rizzo statue in Philadelphia. For those who don't know who Rizzo is, he's one of the worst Hitler spitting son of a gun to have ever walked the face of the earth. He allowed his cops to murder, kill men, women, children, grandmothers, and said very clearly nothing was going to happen to him, you know, for doing these things. And he set down a legacy that they're still following in Philadelphia. So we're starting there and exposing the fact that he targeted Mumia in 1978. He was the one who sent in thousands of cops to raid our home, shooting, killing people, and his own cop got killed. They blamed it on our family. Rizzo, you know, was the one who attacked the Panthers and stripped them in the streets of Philadelphia. And, you know, so we're starting there because they got a statue of him standing there with a high Hitler pose. And they bring black children in to say that this man was a wonderful man. He's part of the Philadelphia tour. We're starting there. And then we're going to the governor's office to have a informational rally right there in front of the governor's office where we're bringing thousands of petitions from around the world about, you know, the innocence of Mumia. And then we're also having people sign on to the call where Jamie Blackwell, Councilwoman Jamie Blackwell and Councilwoman Cindy Bass, who had introduced a resolution saying that everything that the prison is doing is wrong, and you know, about the water, about the hepatitis C, and all the things that I was telling you about. So we're going to have people sign that. We got the loved ones of inmates that's inside the prison, and we're delivering those to the governor. Right after that, we had a town hall meeting. The doors are open at 5:30. There'll be food and entertainment. 6 o'clock, the program starts, and we're having panels. So the first panel is going to deal with the legal with Mumia. Attorney Bob Bull, who is responsible for Marshal Eddie Connolly coming home, was the lawyer of Garuba Ben-Wahad and several other cases. And him and some other people be on the first panel dealing with, you know, the hepatitis C, where it's at and what's going on and where Mumia case lies legally now. The second panel deals with, you know, what is hepatitis C? And it deals with family members who are suffering from it on the streets and those that are suffering inside the prisons exposing of that. We're having a section on political prisoners. And then another one of, you know, if we're in this Trump era, what do we do now? And are dealing with prisons and, you know, because we all got to come together, step up our work. Because if we don't, a lot more people going to be dying inside this prison. You know, talking about us all coming together as one. We have different issues that we deal with around the prison, but we got one problem. That is the corporations that are causing all these problems and being very targeted on what it is that we're going to do. So it's a well-rounded, we're going to have people there that will be taken and given the hepatitis C, test to find out whether they have hepatitis C or not. It's a 20-minute thing where they take blood and, you know, analyze the blood, and you'll know in 20 minutes whether you have, you know, hepatitis C or not, and then refer you to different places or things you can do, because there is things for people on the outside, who can get to doctors and things.
Right, might have insurance, but still, this is the state of Pennsylvania and many other states who are in fact probably watching Mumia's case against the state of Pennsylvania for access to the cure. But this is intentional. The state of Pennsylvania and any other prison system throughout the nation intentionally putting the public at a health risk. This is intentional.
That's right.
And in a historic sense, it just reminds me of the intentional spread of disease to depopulate the indigenous plantation. It's like they keep playing from the same playbook all throughout history. But yeah. I do understand you on short time, but did you want to speak about the upcoming interview on the Activist Studio that Ramona Africa will be giving her testimony once again about the state-sponsored terrorist act, which has gone unprosecuted. And I've been thinking about this over the weekend. This subject came up last week. There were up to 500 police officers or more who participated in the 1985 bombing assault on military assault on your family's compound in West Philadelphia. And I no doubt that some of these people are still alive and they should be prosecuted. Yes. They should be prosecuted for war crimes. And then shout out to our sisters and brothers in Africa that's pulling out the ICC unless the USA Inc. joins the International Criminal Court, because they are shielding criminals, murderers. We're talking, what, 11 people killed in 1985, five of them children, with Ramona being right. One of the sole adult survivors.
Children.
Right.
Yes, yes, indeed. And also, yes, and all the Activist Studio, I believe it's going to be at the Schomburg Theater, and myself, and we're bringing Ramona up, and there's a couple other carloads of us that's coming up for that event. And I'm saying people should not miss it, and because this is a horror story that we need to know about. This is something that we need to know so that we can prevent it from happening at other places. And I really got to pull up right now. And I've been walking around.
I understand.
And a lot of people is coming in right now. But I just want to thank y'all for the time to be able to put out information about what's going on and urge people to come Tuesday night in New York at the Schomburg Theater. I believe it starts at 6:00. And come in and, you know, ask the questions you need to ask. And I want to thank Sister Johanna Fernandez and all the activists and all who pulled this whole thing together, and all because the power of truth is final.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Miss Africa, for your activities on behalf of the entire community in trying to replace this system of racism and injustice with a system of justice. Peace to you, sister and elder.
All right, now. Thank you.
Okay, that was our interview with Sister Pam Africa, who was gracious enough to make some time for us today here on the network under those circumstances. And so I will just continue for those who have not, don't know what I'm talking about. Again, this is an event, Ramona Africa. We'll be speaking at the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. This will take place tomorrow evening. This is in New York City, and the doors do open at 6:00 p.m. Of course, that's Eastern time. The interview begins at 6:30, so or the taping. I've also, for those who are on blacktalkradionetwork.com right now, I've linked to their YouTube channel where they have posted a episode already. It was episode one, because they really have not really the Activist Studio I'm speaking of has only been out for about not that long. They only have one other interview, and that was with former political prisoner Sekou Odinga, who was just recently released, and he's up there in New York as well, I believe. So shout out to that veteran, and thank him for his service. So again, Ramona Africa, but yeah, she will be talking about the 1985 bombing of the Move family compound, which was located in West Philadelphia. There were 11, well, actually it was more than 11. It was 13 people in total in the home. Ramona was the sole adult who survived. And then Birdie Africa, who was 13 years old at the time, only those two were able to escape the bullets and the flames. There have been a couple of documentaries made about this. You can go to YouTube for those on YouTube and look up Let the Fire Burn. I mean, this was state-sponsored terrorism. I mean, it was collusion not only between the fire department, the police department, and many different law enforcement agencies, the mayor, who had a plan, a good one. And this is a black person, so race don't matter. This was a black mayor who had a plan to murder the Move family, which was a political organization mobilizing against police brutality and terrorism. I call it slave catching, because slavery was never abolished by the 13th Amendment. It just transferred it through the marketplace to the courtroom, then to the marketplace where you would be able to trade in slaves on Wall Street like you was before. So that is the focus of that interview. So at this time, I want to open up the phone lines in case anybody had a question or comment. Sorry she was not able to stick around and take any questions. But if you have any questions or comments about either Brother Mumia, again, coming up on the 9th, the attempted assassination on him, which was also the beginning of them framing him up for the murder of a cop. Framing him up for it. And now, of course, they continue to try to kill him by withholding life-saving treatment and cure for hepatitis C. So the United States and all of these states that's part of that corporation pay taxes to it, and they are really engaged in a lot of inhumane practices and corporate media. That's your CNNs, your MSNBCs, those alphabet boys, the six corporations who worldwide control 95% of what you see. And it is straight up propaganda pushing the agenda of racism and white supremacy and, of course, slavery. So, but if you have any questions or comments, you can open up your mic by hitting ** for those who are on the board already. If you would like to dial in, you could give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-910-9025. Or you can also dial in through your computer from anywhere in the world. Sounds like someone unmuted themselves. Let me take a look at the board. But let me see. We have area code 414. Do you have a question or comment for us today?
Yes, Brother Scotty, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, it sounds like Brother Rob. We haven't heard from you in a long time, and it's good to hear your voice and know that you're still alive behind these enemy lines.
Man, I'm out here in the turbulence, man. It's rough out here. I had a particular question for you that I think you may be able to help me out with. Okay, I got a college project coming up on an ethical dilemma, and I heard something on Talk Payment Radio, listening to Nellie Fuller Jr. Program, and it was a particular conversation that a unnamed person had with the owners of record companies, and he was had the record company owners signed a confidentiality agreement, and after they signed, he talked to them about private prisons. This was in 1991.
Yes, I'm familiar with the story.
I'm sorry?
I'm familiar with the story. Yes, it has okay. been, especially on hip-hop community websites, people, the hip-hop community, they often talk about that. I've seen writers write about it. Just to give the listeners some background of what you're talking about, please continue, Rob.
Okay, my question was, if I'm looking for some information on that, because I got to put together a PowerPoint slide for it, mm-hmm. Give me a starting point of where I may want to look for that information.
This is what I would recommend to you, because I tried to source it. I'm gonna call source the article, and I could not find two or three sources. What I was finding is the same information, which is very plausible. Let's not act like, you know, this is some out of the world conspiracy theory or anything. These conspiracies exist, or it wouldn't have a name for it. So, okay. So, but I was not able to source it. So I don't know exactly the parameters of your project. So why not investigate it? Why not your project be to investigate it as a myth? And whether or not the myth is true, do we see that playing out in the lyrics of urban, quote unquote, urban radio? And how does that correlate with the violence that leads to enslavement? Do you follow me? Because I can't source the article. I tried to find two or three. And it's not to say that I don't believe it, because it's entirely plausible.
Okay, so let me see if I'm following you and understand you. You can more so go in the direction. Send the artist.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up really bad on us. Let me try something on this board. I'm going to mute you and unmute you, and sometimes that may clear it up. But then again, you could be on, you know, a cell somewhere, and there's some tower interference or poor reception. Go ahead again, Rob. Rob. Yeah, you got some serious interference going on there, Rob.
Can you hear me, Scotty?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. What I was saying was, were you saying to go in the direction of the record company owners influencing the artists to promote lyrics, which...
promote behavior that will lead one to the private prison plantation. Yeah, Rob, your connection is really bad. If you want to hang up and call back in, I used to work for a cell phone company. Sometimes you can do that and establish a better connection. And sometimes also powering off your device and then turning it back on. It is something we used to tell people we weren't supposed to. It looks like he's calling back. Let's see if we got a better connection. Okay, Rob, are you there? Yes, go for Rob.
Okay, you can. Am I clear?
At times you are, but not really.
Man, I don't know what. Try to. Can you clear me now?
No.
Still not clear.
Yeah, if you have access to a computer, if you go to uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, we have a chat room. You could type your question in the chat room and I will come back to it and answer it. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Place them back on mute. That's just how the technology works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. All right, so let me just move on. Let me see, it's 4:32. Let me go ahead and take a station identification break. Of course, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast from behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, God willing. And we talk about social and political issues globally, but we really tend to focus on what's going on here behind these enemy lines, because they are legally practicing slavery. And then trying to tell the rest of the world it's wrong to practice slavery in various forms, but they have a legalized form of it. And that's why they lead the world in the prison slave population. Nobody. Again, Louisiana, that state by itself, has 7 times the prison population of China. But they want to tell us people in China ain't free. So we discuss those sort of things. We discuss them from a black perspective. But at the same time, I would not say that we do not want justice for everyone. Because you can't be selective with justice. You can't want justice for yourself and for no one else. So, but we are black people, so we focus on it from a black perspective. What other perspective would I know as a black man? All right, so let me move on to a couple of more of these stories, because I want to talk about the terrorism. I'm going to be organizing myself behind the scenes. I'm going to take a station identification break, play some short message music so I can pull up some of my stories. But I'm just going to focus on unprosecuted terrorism of the state. We're talking about state or city law enforcement elements with collusion, conspiracies with the mayor's office, with city council, with their full blessing. And these are unprosecuted crimes. You can't murder five children and there's going to be a statute of limitation. Come on now, give me a break. Y'all know it don't, by law, it don't work that way. And many of these terrorists have retired and they're getting pensions and what have you, probably living in Florida and other places. And these are war criminals. Why should they not be hunted down just like any other of these guards? They be hunting down 70, 80 year old men, accusing them of being guards at Nazi camps in Germany in the 1940s. Well, we had up to 500 law enforcement officers. That's like 300 short of a battalion in the United States Army. I know because I was in there. That's a battalion. Darn near a battalion attack a civilian home in the middle of a neighborhood. The FBI supplied C4 to be dropped from a bomb from a helicopter onto this home, which ended up burning 61 homes down, killing 11 people, most importantly, five of them children. Statute of limitations don't run out on something like that. And African nations are right to pull out of the ICC. Because as they have pointed out, and people, other outlets have pointed out over the years, that they just prosecute Africans for war crimes and they never prosecute any Europeans. You don't see no regime changes going on in any European nations, no violent military regime changes. No, you don't see that happening. So why should African nations participate in this fraud when they're not practicing justice and America won't join? They won't sign the Rome treaty, but they want to talk about other people being prosecuted for human rights violations. And speaking of human rights violations, here I'm reading that Donald Trump has spoken with Duterte, the Filipino president of the Philippines. And this guy Duterte, who is a psychopath, I don't trust him, so he could be lying. But we had some of the corporate media report that he got a phone call from Trump and he talked to him, and Trump praised him for his extrajudicial killings of drug addicts and quote unquote alleged drug dealers in the Philippines. And if that turns out to be true, would Donald Trump support that here in America? Because I live in a 80% or more white county in rural North Carolina, which has been declared the meth capital of North Carolina. They be cooking meth all up in the woods and selling it and distributing it and smoking it. And there's a lot of them in the county jail. Now, again, I'm against the drug war. I don't think our tax dollars, our property taxes, should be going towards prosecuting people for grown people for any kind of substance that they might want to partake in. If it's bad for them and our concern is for their health, then we don't throw people into slavery and we certainly don't kill them. But I believe in free will, and adults should be able to express that free will as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. But with Trump's support, law enforcement here in Gaston County, North Carolina, rounding up all these redneck crackers hooked on meth and just start gunning them down. Would he encourage me to go out and hunt down these crackers in these woods cooking up meth and kill them? So I need to do more investigation. Just because I saw it in the Washington Post doesn't mean it's true. They known for publishing fake news. So I need to source that. So this is what is people had to face the facts and the reality of what is going on in this country before this country is allowed on a world stage to point fingers at any criminals, and the criminals need to be pointed out, the violators of man's free will. But then to be doing what they're doing right here, right in our faces. It's right there if you just open up your eyes. A lot of people, they know what's going on. They just don't want to acknowledge it. So stay tuned. We will highlight some of these stories of unprosecuted crimes. You got U.S. Representative Bobby Rush. He then became a board member of USA Inc., a former Black Panther Party member who had to go underground. I believe it was in 1969 when they assassinated Fred Hampton and was just doing a sweep and killing all the Black Panther Party members that they could. This was going on nationally. It was the brainchild of one possibly homosexual cross-dressing J. Edgar Hoover. So we will highlight some of those stories on the other side as we get ready to take a station ID and kick some message music. If you have any music, we do have a music station called the Message Music Station. You can find it at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just look in the program and station menu for the name Message Music. But if you are independent artists out there and you want to give us permission to expose people to the messages that's in your music, if we approve it, we will play it free of charge. Free of charge. So we're going to kick some message music from a collaboration of some brothers and sisters in Atlanta called Wrath of the CI Fool, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the terrorism that has gone unprosecuted, these crimes, these murders of children here in the United States. Stay tuned.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio.
May appear a confusing blur of activity, each ant doing its own thing, but it can't be. Somehow the ants coordinate their actions so that large insects are overwhelmed, killed, and carried back to the base.
Pairs is dying and my people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting.
Watch what comes out your mouth.
People are suffering.
It's elementary, they want us all gone eventually.
Pairs is dying, people are suffering. The money's still low, you should see how they budgeting. Pairs is dying, and my people are suffering. Cause the money's still low,
they want us all gone eventually.
I swear to God, living in this economy's like a robbery. The government taxing me when they owe me for my property. You niggas act like you happy to live in poverty. When I feel like a king, they gotta make these fools acknowledge me. I'm royalty and loyal to the feeling of it. The contrast make it look thuggish. We talk, walk, and look rugged. Naturally, nothing sad to see. We all a part of this tragedy. I'm mad at you, so why you mad at me?
We headed for the times of the nine. Watch out, six. Sun cycle on the rise. Moon cycle out the mix. Living on this planet of the snakes and the crucifix. Pardon self as I unk my way through. Marching with my A-boom boom, making my debut. Like great balls of fire, nothing could save you. In these replenishing times, I honor my dead. Making my ancestors proud when it's off with your head.
Does my pencil possess potential to change mentals? Yes. Show what you pen in this packet, but essential less. What is essential to keep it? The sharpest against you, yes. What is essential to keep it like a temple? Blast, fall to the temple, keeping the beat simple and fresh. While they whimper and rest, I'm intuition like the simplest guess. Into tradition, I'm on a mission until I transition to give the up and coming a better existence.
I seen a beggar scorn reaching for a coin or two. The older we get, it switches up the point of view. And they anointed you leader of the free world. Desolate minds refined to the V-girl. The most benevolent is evident who I be. Graffiti on the wall, the crew drew Ali. Zoo to Aki, shifting on the paradigm. Raise the vibration, then go prepare the mind.
Define magnificent rare gem. Dig deep, the omnipotent all-seeing. I just speak the game plan. I pray for niggas, amen. Fat Sharpie spray can, I'm made man. With suede bands, no street skating, no beat taking. For Pete's sake, he's a beast quaking, the scene shaking. No mistaking, the ants conquer the elephants. FTP, RBG, the rest of development.
What's the ant's secret that makes them the most efficient predators on Earth? Consuming more meat than lions, tigers, and wolves combined.
I'm way medicated, puff lying, lay sedated, and stay dedicated to culture that created the essence of the lessons now delivered in my presence. Kalonji called upon me, so now I pose the question. How is it that the blacks came in whips and chains, having nothing else to lose and everything to gain? Now niggas entertain for some whips and chains, a white dame and some fame.
Is that shit not strange?
It's kinda hard holding down your dreams when you blackin' in America with institutions set to bury you 6 feet underneath dirt, a debt deep, disciples. Psychological when making those ends meet and needs be. A hand feeds the other teases. Gather thoughts, grab the Gatling for good reason. In between success, devil's greed. A pine box of mind jocks elusive.
And why tie come off and camouflage, can't take cloth. Eating lentils and vegetable broth, but I ain't never been soft. Leading the lost and forsaken by any cost. Bones aching, working hard, trying to bring home the turkey bacon. Breaking laws of gravity, fuck with the family and watch me savagely. Crush craniums and chest cavities to pray for the casualties. My anatomy is naturally, casually composed. This is self-construction for the soul.
I'm black dynamite, I'll blast you with my nitros. Put a dope piece, put a gold piece in a booth with five disciples. We channeling boot mind, the revolution sparker. With eight bars, cigar smoking, some dark room on the altar. Watch the daughter work a mojo, walk the stage without a hype man. Electric verses turn a great crowd into light rain. Flood psyches with an ill beat, the brain food that's got hot. Fly wisdom, call us Darcy, the enlightener, that's Cy-Rock.
2012 and times are different yet the same. Nowadays the number of prisoners behind a cage outnumber amounts of those enslaved during the trades. And shame we killing ourselves over what set you blame. Getting shot instead of hang. Nothing changed for the better except the cheddar of corporate profit to gain. The more money in pocket, the more people in chains. Unite niggas who bang, destroy their main aim.
It's all connected, form a web like a Nazi. It's the people, Siafu is the army. Start a top contender, foil plot the new agenda. They even reborn a trap, sucker and meat for dinner. All that garbage I pinning, this right here's the ending. Words the venom, getting them wrapped in Egyptian linen. Coming for head, this rapper, Kali will shake the rafters. Only thing standing after, walking natural disaster, rapture.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Hey.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where they still practice legalized slavery through the loophole contained therein, the 13th Amendment. So check that out. Shout out again to Ava DuVernay for her effort to get some truth out to the masses concerning the continued practice of slavery and human trafficking by the United States federal government, as well as by a number of private corporations, some of the ones that was involved in what we call pre-1865 slavery. Some of the same corporations like Wells Fargo. If you got money in Wells Fargo, shame on you. If you didn't know, okay, you didn't know, but now you know. They are a large investor in private prisons, which were celebrating with the election of Donald Trump. As Sister Pam Africa talked about, we have to come up with responses to his election, what the battlefield might look like. And through our movement that was born here on our network, New Abolitionist Movement, we certainly have been talking about the movement of the private prison stocks on the stock market, where they had almost went out of business, and now they're celebrating because Trump fully embraces slavery. He said so himself on the campaign trail. So that's what we're dealing with. To the caller, Rob, email me, bro. Email me your question about that. But just to try to restate what I was saying for your project for school, is I cannot source that article. I've read that article. It's been published on different websites about record company executive having a meeting, well, group of record company representatives having a meeting with someone from the private prison industry. There was no names that was shared, no company's name. Was this the GEO Group? Was this Correction Corporation? Corporation of America, which has recently changed their name, so I got to retrain my brain to say their name, because that's how they do. They try to change their names, but they still engaged in the very same, and that very same is slavery under a different name. So since I can't source it as a journalist, I cannot vouch for the veracity of that or the truthfulness of that. But we can see it playing out in the industry. We can see it playing out in their playlist, in the playlist that's targeted for urban radio. And there's been a lot written about it in industry insiders like Paul Porter. Check out his website, Rap Rehab. They have published articles about that as well. But the correlation, I believe that there is a correlation between the lyrical content of so-called rap music, where it promotes sexual immorality, it promotes the use of drugs, it promotes the selling of drugs. Just because I don't think people should be enslaved over these things doesn't mean I want it promoted to people, especially our young people, which they do promote it. The United States government does not enforce its FCC rules against profane and obscene content on the public airways, and they are more than fine with little black girls and black women being called bitches and hoes on the public airways, and they're fine with that. They're more than fine with black men rapping about killing other black men and just shooting up people and just doing violence. And it is a correlation. I know it is. There have been many studies. So that's what I'm saying is I can't source that article. If you want to mention that in your project, just mention it as you came across this article and it was your starting point and you wanted to investigate whether the article is factual or urban legend. If in fact there is a correlation between behavior and music content that's targeting certain communities, because you could look at those communities, and of course there are other factors, other variables to consider, like increased targeted slave catching. They ain't targeting them white boys up here on that meth like they targeting people in black people, black men particular, in urban areas. So but send me an email if you need further clarification. You could just hit me up at blacktalkradiobaby@gmail.com. that'll come to me, and you know, we can discuss that further. Getting to, again.
Can you hear me, Scotty?
Yes, I can hear you much better now. Did you have something you wanted to
add?
Yeah,
I was driving. Hold on, let me take it off speaker. Yeah, I was driving. I'm back at home now. I just heard your commentary on my question, and thank you. I think that pretty much answered the question.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Did you have anything you want to add on what we heard from Miss Africa or the issue of unprosecuted terrorist crimes that have been committed in the United States? And we ain't talking about something that happened 100 years ago. We talking about something that happened in 1985 when I was just coming out of high school.
No, I think that, you know, it's just, unfortunate that, the people like Mamiya, and other political prisoners, man, have, stepped up and, are being, killed for it, basically. Like, you know, our other elders that have been, murdered by these people. And, I think that what that does, though, is, you know, it quiet, the voices of a lot of other, black people. I see it playing out in the classroom, you know, and, you know, I just, try to be as vocal, as I can about the problem.
Right. Vocal, but yet codified.
Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, you're welcome, Rob. Anytime. All right, so let me move to some of these stories, but before I move to some of these stories, highlighting some of this historic terrorism, but when I say historic, do not think that I'm talking about something that happened 100 years ago or 150 years ago or 200 years ago. All those things are important to know about those crimes, but I'm talking about crimes where the perpetrators of these crimes are still alive. Some of them are, and they need to be tracked down. And they need to be questioned, and they need to be prosecuted. There should be a movement to prosecute these people. I'm not saying that there isn't a movement, but I'm telling you, there was no justice coming out of the Justice Department because, and I'm not just putting this on the Obama administration, but any administration after. What was 1985? When did Reagan come in? 82. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or it was the 1980. Okay, yeah, 1980. So this was during the Reagan administration because he was on his way out when I was on my way into the military as a very confused young black person just trying to get some college money, not realizing the bigger picture of what I was joining. So, that again, two events to make note of, especially if you are in the New York City area for this December the 6th event, Ramona Africa at the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture, the campaign to bring Mamiya home as part of its Inside the Activist Studio series presents We Almost Lost Philadelphia, that again will go down at 6 o'clock p.m. at 9 o'clock p.m. For those in BTR community, I believe I saw Tag posted it in the event calendar. So it's there for you, and we've also linked to it. The other event, and that is for Mamiya, and this information is found at freemamiya.com. Don't let them kill Mamiya. This is a Philadelphia rally, as Miss Pam Africa spoke to us about. It'll go down on December the 9th at 3 p.m., a street rally, and then at 6 p.m., they will have a indoor event. So as she talked about, you know, the efforts to educate the community on the dangers of hepatitis C, in addition to these political prisoner issues, the public is being purposely put at risk. I mean, we're talking about pandemic levels in a prison system. These men get out. These women get out. And this is a communicable disease. What is it? The Center for Disease Control? They should have a red alert out on this. Everybody that's getting out of prison could, in fact, be putting everyone else at risk of contracting hepatitis C. And what makes it so absurd, so inhumane, is that they have a cure. And they could cure everybody. It could be wiped out, like they say they wiped out polio in the United States and what have you. They have a cure for hepatitis C. If they administer that cure to everyone suffering from hepatitis C, that disease would be eradicated in the United States. But what are they doing? Seeking to make a profit. And this drug, they're charging too much money to be giving this cure to some slaves. That's how the state is looking at it. Let's just acknowledge these simple truths. So activists and supporters worldwide will mark December the 9th on as the anniversary of the state's 1981 attempted assassination of Mumia Abu-Jamal on the streets of Philadelphia. Again, there have been Senate hearings on this, the Frank Church committee hearings in the Senate in the 1970s, when those activists in Pennsylvania, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, there might have been a New Jersey FBI field office where they discovered boxes upon boxes of documents related to the FBI's illegal COINTELPRO program, stands for counterintelligence program, where they were seeking to assassinate, to marginalize, to frame and imprison black activists so that they could prevent any kind of quote unquote black messiah from rising up to lead black people to the promised land. So they had to kill King. They had to orchestrate the events that led to the assassination of Malcolm X. They had to try to kill Mumia and then frame him. Had to kill Zayed. I think it was Zayed. I'm mistaken about that. The Shakur Panther member that was killed on the New Jersey Turnpike, where they also tried to murder a Sundiata Okoli and Asada Shakur. So, I mean, all of this is documented, but yet USA Inc. and its representatives want to act like this history, these facts, these documents, this evidence does not exist, but yet you want to put Asada Shakur for surviving that attempted assassination and then railroaded her into slavery with an all-white jury. Then you want to throw her on the FBI most wanted list for one slave catcher, which she did not kill. He was probably killed by his fellow slave catcher. So these are some truths that are, if people want peace, true peace, and love and harmony and all that jazz here in America, then they need to prosecute these criminals for these crimes. But most importantly, they need to end slavery and they need to stop practicing institutional racism. I don't care about these racist crackers around here. If they what they think about me, what they think about my skin color or anything, I don't care. They can fly all the Confederate flags they want to from the back of their trucks. They can do whatever. Long as it doesn't interfere with me and mine, then they are perfectly, just a free country, as they say, although it's not free because they're still practicing slavery. So, but I don't care about that sort of personal racist beliefs. I just ain't got to deal with them. What I care about is institutional racism that is being practiced through the state, and that means USA Inc. and all the 50, well, I'll say 49 states, because you kidnapped the Queen of Hawaii and force her to sign over the Hawaiian Kingdom to some corporations under the threat of unleashing a terrorist called the Marines on them. This is all documented, people. Can't dispute any of this. So So these are the things that need to be resolved if there is to be any peace in the land, if there's going to be any significant efforts or steps taken toward implementing a system based on justice where everybody who needs help gets help. So in Philadelphia, that rally again will take place on December the 9th, And I don't think I gave the, here it is, I think it is the address. I'm not sure if I can find the address, so please go look that up. It's just not apparent, but it's in Philadelphia. It is on freemomia.com, so I do need to move on to some of these other stories. Again, if you have any questions or comments for me today, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025, or you can dial in via computer by going to uberconference.com/blacktalkradionetwork. Current House and U.S. Representative and former Black Panther Party member Bobby L. Rush, in an article that was published in the Chicago Crusader over the weekend, in this article, he is giving specific details about the unprosecuted acts of state-sponsored terror that in Chicago resulted in the assassination of one Fred Hampton Sr. and another Black Panther Party member. I think he was like part of the security detail for Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., Mark Clark. And again, this is everything I just got through talking about, the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, COINTELPRO, with this involved local police, the slave catchers. So he gave specific details in this article about going underground for a couple of days, I forget exactly how many days, to avoid being murdered by the Chicago police as they participated in the FBI's and J. Edgar Hoover's extermination plan of Panther leadership on the national scale. Let me throw up this article for those who are watching this broadcast through YouTube. Let me see if I can pull that up for you right quick. And I'm like, this is, and Bobby Rush is a current board member of USA Inc. And now he's in that position. You would think, and I don't know that he has not. Okay, give me just a second.
In the snows of North Dakota, they were digging in for the long haul. This camp is the largest gathering of Native Americans in living memory. They had come here to fight a pipeline which they say desecrated sacred sites and threatened tribal waters.
Okay, I know the what's 3 billion going on. That is one of the stories that I wanted to share, and it just started it automatically. I could not figure that out. Sorry about that. Let me go ahead and pull up this article. So this was an article that was published by Chinta Strasberg for the Chicago Crusader. I'm not sure if that's a black-owned, historically black-owned paper or not, because they're so very rare. So many of them have been shut down, just like the black radio stations were shut down through that 1996 Telecommunications Act. Shut down, shut out, however you want to phrase it. So Representative Bobby Rush will be turning 70, and I guess he's already turned 70 because his birthday came days before the anniversary of the assassination of Black Panther Party leader and chairman Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. They were killed by Chicago police in a pre-dawn raid. There have been documentaries made about this. They murdered him after he was poisoned. His Kool-Aid or something was drugged, and that is why most of the people, when the police came in, were asleep, and they just murdered them in their sleep, tried to murder them. And Fred Hampton Jr., who's an activist in Chicago right now, was in his mother's womb at the time of this assassination of his father, and his mother obviously survived this assault by the Chicago police with the full backing of the United States government. Again, 1969 is not that long ago. I was just 3 years old in 1969. I had just turned three, matter of fact, on November the 30th in 1969. So that was this is only 47 years ago. Statute of limitations don't run out. And some of these people are possibly still alive, and they should be prosecuted. Now, I know y'all just got rid of Anita Alvarez up there in Chicago, but you need to be putting the pressure on whoever the new DA that you elected to reopen this investigation. And it actually went before a federal grand jury. And I don't know how they failed to not indict when they said that the Panthers, and when you say that, or someone in the apartment only got off or fired one shot, possibly trying to save their life. But they had, the Chicago police had fired thousands of rounds, just like they did where? In Philadelphia with the MOVE bombing. Let me see. Fred Hampton was 21 years old. He was chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party and the deputy chairman of the National BP. And he was killed along with Mark Clark, who was 22 years old and also a member of the Black Panther Party. Several members were also wounded. They were victims of 14. And I want to know what their names are, where they live, and all that good stuff. They were victims of 14 Chicago slave catchers who claimed it was a shootout. Evidence clearly proved they lied after an investigation revealed police fired almost 100 shots to the Panthers, one shot during that early morning, which I'm sure was a no-knock raid where they just kick in the door, come in with guns blazing. Remember, never forget little 7-year-old Ayanna Jones in Detroit, when Officer Joseph Weekly, the slave catcher with the SWAT unit, I don't know if he got his job back or what, after they failed to convict him for her murder, but he came busting through the door after they then flash-banged the place and set the place on fire. He come through the door, ended up shooting her in the head. So never forget her. So we know how they do. The officers were assigned to a special unit of Cook County State's Attorney Edward Hammerhan. So, I mean, what kind of garbage is this? Since when do a district attorney get a special unit to conduct assassinations? Well, obviously, this was part of a wider conspiracy with the full backing of the FBI. They probably share intel with them. It is a day, as the writer writes, it is a day Representative Rush, who turned 70 on November the 23rd, says he will always remember. At that time, Rush was coordinator of the Illinois chapter and executive minister of defense of the BPP. Well, I'm sorry, but, oh man, I'm not even going to go there. It was during the period of the FBI's infamous and illegal 1960s COINTELPRO spy program monitoring the Black Liberation Movement and its leaders. Well, let's be honest, it was more than about monitoring. As you are documenting, that it was murder. The FBI informant, William O'Neill, who sided with the FBI to raid Fred Hampton's apartment, they always find the proxy racist, offer them butter biscuits, and man, I tell you, just no self-respect whatsoever, told the FBI that Rush was supposed to be at the apartment at the time of the raid. If I had been in that apartment, Mr. Bobby Rush, U.S. corporate board member of USA Inc., I would have been killed. Now, again, this is a current U.S. House member. Where are the hearings on this? You have intimate knowledge as a victim of this. Where, look, murder, there is no statute of limitations on murder. So what? He's scared? He's scared that they would try to kill him and assassinate him again? Is that what it is? But I don't want to focus on him. Let's focus on the slavers. He was not in the apartment at the time of the execution because of the overcrowded conditions. We had out-of-town Panthers who stayed in that apartment. Some of the others had their own homes in Chicago. There wasn't enough room for all of us to sleep over all night, so the FBI planned to kill everybody, including me, with the Chicago Police Department. Now, I'm going to stop there. And you can indeed read the rest of this article. Again, it is published at, let me just pull that up again. For those, the Chicago Crusader Newblacknewsnetwork.com is the article. The title, if you want to look it up, is Representative Rush. And I bet you didn't none of his fellow House members send him any kind of condolences and say, oh, we're so sorry that happened to you, our dear colleague, our fellow House member, our fellow board member of USA Inc. That is a travesty, and those men should be brought to justice, and let's work together and let's put together a truth and reconciliation hearing, not just for this attempted assassination on your life and the successful assassination of Fred Hampton and everybody else that was killed. Let's track these men down. Let's get the FBI to open up a cold case and see. Again, there was an investigation, and it clearly showed that these murderous pigs lied. But there is no push for justice, to bring these men to justice, and women, if any women were involved. There's been no push for that. So again, this is, again, just documenting. It's very important to document all of this stuff. Let me move on to another article highlighting that. Give me just a moment here. The next article I would like to bring to your attention before we take our next station identification break is Colin Kaepernick has continued to raise awareness and speak to the media about state-sponsored terrorism and acknowledging the state-sponsored assassination of Fred Hampton Sr. So the San Francisco 49ers were in Chicago playing the Chicago Bears, and as you all know that regularly listen to this broadcast, so I'm sure you've heard about it because there's been a lot of people talking about it and criticizing his activities of not standing in honor of the slavers anthem. And so he spoke to the media recently about the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. since they were in Chicago. And he just pointed out, this isn't something that just started happening yesterday. This is a pattern and practice of the entire existence of these people since they came together and formed this country. This is state-sponsored terrorism. So let me see if I'm not sure if I put this particular article in our YouTube video. See if I can pull that up for you. No, I didn't.
In the snows of North Dakota,
let's go away
they were
from
digging
that.
In.
Well,
for
that
the
article,
hole.
That article.
This camp is the
I'm
largest
sorry.
Gathering of.
That story just really wants to be heard on today's program, doesn't it? And we'll get to that story before we close out, as it is important news to report on the Dakota Access Pipeline. But yeah, Colin Kaepernick, let me just pull up some of the words of Colin Kaepernick, some of the quotes in this Chicago.SunTimes.com article. Colin Kaepernick kneels, commemorates Black Panther leader's death. It wasn't a death, Chicago.SunTimes.com. It was a murder. It was a state-sponsored murder. Colin Kaepernick kneeled before Sunday's game. Is trying to play this article. I mean, this. This is why I didn't really want to include it in the YouTube stream, because it is trying to start a video. Colin Kaepernick kneeled before Sunday's game, in part to honor the anniversary of Fred Hampton's killing, the 49ers quarterback said. The Illinois Black Panther leader was killed at 21 years old during a Chicago police raid on a West Side apartment on December the 4th. This was yesterday. Yesterday, the 47th anniversary, December the 4th, 1969, a federal grand jury found that despite police crimes of being fired upon, only one of the shell casings recovered at the scene belonged to a Black Panther. And see, that doesn't even mean that they fired the gun. the slave catcher could have picked up the gun after you then murdered this man and then fired it yourself. So this is a federal grand jury. But what did you not read? What did they not report? What about the federal prosecution of these terrorists? So you've already got a grand jury records in existence where they found, despite police claims of being fired upon, only one shell casing, and that's just a casing, doesn't mean anything, recovered at the scene, belonged to a Black Panther. There are a lot of issues that still need to be addressed. Kaepernick said their significance being here today, seeing it's the anniversary of the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton. Being in Chicago, being able to acknowledge a Black figure, a Black leader like him, is very important. And his role as a leader in this community and bringing this community together is something that needs to be acknowledged. So those who don't know who Fred Hampton, Senior Chairman Fred Hampton is, there's plenty of information about him, but he was a very charismatic, outspoken young person who could talk to anyone and bring people together of different backgrounds and classifications under this racist system. And he was seen really, really as that possible new messiah. And not that he put himself on that kind of pedestal. He was a great organizer. He was able to get the work done as well as being an effective communicator to the people, to the masses. And he motivated people to get involved to work against this system of slavery and end it. So they had to murder him. They killed him. They assassinated him, along with many others. And that is why we still have political prisoners to this day. Now, while there was a comment made on an article I shared on social media about what is that guy's name? His name was just on the tip of my tongue. Trayvon Green. He plays for the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, I believe is his name. Used to play for Michigan State. So he wore some shoes specially designed that said sideline racism, like he's trying to say, you know, using a basketball metaphor, let's get rid of racism, let's throw racism out the game, let's make them sit on the sideline or whatnot. So somebody left a comment saying, what is that doing to his wearing those shoes doing to change the system of racism or bring about a system of justice? And that's a quite cynical view, because that question could be asked of us all. But I understand the value of symbolism, and you should too, being that so not just Black people, as we see millions, tens of millions of white people who are racist suspects who are taking pride in the symbolism that Donald Trump represents. Black people fell for the same thing with the election or selection of Barack Obama. So let's not act like we don't understand that symbolism has power. So that he's using the symbol, he's using words to bring attention to racism by putting sideline racism on his shoes. Now, is that going to end the system of racism? No, it's not, but it might inspire the person who comes up with the plan, or inspires the people who come up with the plan to eliminate the system of racism and injustice. So let's not be so cynical and critical of people's efforts in the best way that they can or know how. This is them doing this. This isn't you. You're not paying them to do this. They doing it of their own volition. It's voluntary. Why you want to criticize them for doing something, for raising awareness? And so we can say the same thing about when the NFL players wear pink. And people wear pink to bring awareness to what? Cancer. So is the NFL players wearing pink shoes going to bring about the cure for breast cancer? No, But what it's going to do is bring attention to breast cancer and the problem of breast cancer, and people will be motivated to do fundraisers and donate money towards curing breast cancer. We're the same thing. Racism is a cancer. It's the same thing, raising awareness. So I value Draymond Green's effort, even if it was just putting this symbol or this message on the side of his shoes during a game. And the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. People might criticize him and say, what is him not standing up and honoring the slavers' anthem and all the slavery and mistreatment of people that represents worldwide, not just here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., but worldwide. Why, you know, is that going to do anything to end it? Well, no, obviously just kneeling on the ground is not going to end the things that he's talking about. But what it is doing is inspiring people, as we have reported. I think we even did an interview with the mother of some young people down there in Florida in high school who were not going to continue to stand for the slavers' anthem, saying that they were inspired by Colin Kaepernick. They're thinking about, why am I standing up for this slavers' anthem? This very flag represents, and this anthem, this music was written by a white racist slaver. So why am I doing? Because it's expected of me. So I'm expected to adhere to the slaver's codes, right? Well, no, I have free will, and that doesn't make logical sense to me. So I'm not going to participate in your rituals, your white supremacist rituals. So, again, let's not be cynical. And I appreciate Colin Kaepernick bringing attention to the unprosecuted murder of Fred Hampton Sr., Mark Clark, and the attempted murder of those who survived, including Representative Bobby Rush, who is possibly so shook and so scared that he ain't even willing to ask for justice for himself. But he's talking about it. He can be compelled to give testimony. This is, in fact, evidence. From media reports, the FBI can open up investigations of civil rights violations. Although I hate that term, but they can open it up, reopen it. You already got a grand jury thing. So again, don't talk to me about justice or law and order or any of that. Don't talk to me about terrorism until you acknowledge yours. Going to take a station identification break. When I come back, want to jump around the diaspora. Want to jump to a story out of Ghana, where you got a fake U.S. embassy that has been operating for 10 years now. Come on now. People making excuses in the comments section of this article and other articles I've seen, but you had a fake U.S. embassy operating in Ghana for 10 years, a decade, issuing not fake U.S. visas. The visas were real, but they were fraudulently obtained, and they were charging people in Ghana, Ghanaians, I presume, $6,000 a pop. And now they're saying, oh, this was a Turkish and Ghanaian, what they call it, organized criminal conspiracy. But this went on for a decade. Now, all I'm saying, they talk about the CIA and all the U.S. intelligence community and all these smart people and how they are plugged into everything that's going on. And these people even took out billboards, had billboard ads. And this went undetected by the U.S. Embassy, by the State Department, by U.S. intelligence agencies. Come on, I'm supposed to believe that? So it's either one or the other. It is either complete incompetence, and I don't know if these the same people that was there when Hillary Clinton incompetently ran it. We know if it was in the last 10 years, we know that covers part of her tenure. But this went on for 10 years. So it's either just incompetence or there is corruption going on here. Corruption. And they were knowing that this was going on and they was allowing it to happen. as a Trojan horse conduit, or somebody in the State Department was getting a cut. It's either one or the other. Which is it? You tell me. So we'll talk about that story on the other side. Again, if you have questions or comments, you can get those in by calling us at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit ** to unmute yourself. So I'm going to take another station identification break and some message music. This is Uncle Murder, Maino. No, I'm not going to play that one. That's too extreme for the people. I'm just not feeling that one right now. But yeah, we'll find some more message music and we'll play that for you. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. on these evil streets. Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Is a powerful thing, but that power can be used for or against. I love hip hop. I said I love hip hop. So for the love of hip hop, let me share some with you. Listen, I got a secret. Everybody come to listen. Took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons. Tricked the people into crime with rap verses and rhyme. Made it cooler go to jail, then gave niggas time. Well, brainwashed the people with a marketing plan. This brother all around me like he's stalking me, man. With his slogans and his phrases, keep the masses in their places to accept for extermination like Logan through the mazes. It's in the book of ages, but we never read the pages till Hitler rises up to exterminate the races. Where were all the Christians when we started dropping bombs? Where was Luke, Matthew, Mark, and John? They say pray to Christ, but act nothing like him. As they lead the sheep to slaughter, we get crucified just like them. Scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. But after global warming, tell me what that shit worth. Not the price of dirt, he got me for my shirt. The emperor has no clothes and kindly dropped the skirt. She can get it in the rear, we should have known that it was near. Osama's just a tool they use to promote their brand of fear.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post-crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam New.
I got a secret, everybody come and listen. They took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons. Atlanta children missing, one man set for lynching. The murder still continue, but no one can't enlist them. What's the price of black when white is valued higher? Who's the last to get the job, the first to get the fire? No one gets the blame, truth is just the truth. Most don't have a future, cause most don't know their roots. But they know flavored hoops and they think that shit is cute. Like Beyonce in a G-string and Jay-Z in a suit. The Pied Piper with a flute, mommy getting zooped. The children's in the street and the dealers about to shoot.
The cycle goes around like the cycle going rounds, snatching up our babies like the fruit from off the ground. Who tends the garden? Who watches over sheep? The priest is here to raise our souls.
That's just when we sleep.
I tell confessions to a beast. They say God is like the thief who comes in the darkest night to quickly snatch and eat. If I'm my brother's keeper, who's my sister's keep? Some nigga named Sugar Bear with diamonds in his teeth.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets most crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap with your soul, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Dealers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build the stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News. And this white man's
I try to do the right thing in my life like Mookie, but I'm still a public enemy, so they set me up like Tukey. We should all stand tall like Jamal in a pen. So I call for the fall of Babylon with a pen. You see everything on time like a man named Ben. Why they call me black? That's not the color of my skin. And why they call you white if we all born to sin? That sound like a gin out to tempt men. The devil wears a suit, but I can see it in his grin. If Jesus is the word, and the word is on the cross, and the cross is in the club, why so many people lost? Two towers down, everybody like Moss. All patriotic, but what's the final cost? What's the final cost? What's the final cost?
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets most crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap with your soul, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Dealers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build the stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News. And this white man's world.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed is in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. And we hope that you will find your way home to btrcommunity.com. It's a new social media platform that was put up by the Black Talk Media Project to provide another safe digital space online for Afro-descendant people. Being that terrorism is so prevalent and comes in so many forms, and plus it provides us an opportunity to network among ourselves, whether that is in business or coming up with solutions and a plan to change this system to one that is practicing justice and not legalized slavery. So welcome back to the broadcast. Got just a couple more stories that I'd like to share with you before I end this broadcast and make way for Tando Radio Show, which is coming up here at 6 o'clock p.m. So you want to keep it locked on the station for more live programming. He will close out our live programming on the network. But there are other independent black media stations on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Please check them out and so you can find out what their programming is going to be. All right, so Tando, they'll be talking about the devaluing of cash and the hidden surprise, which will come swiftly. I was just seeing a YouTube video about out of Nigeria, and they were talking about how 57% of Nigerians do not trust banks and do not put their money into banks. And I was just thinking about Dave when I saw that story, and I was like, Dave would probably think that they're making a wise move by not trusting these banks with these crooked financial systems that are in place right now. So the next story that I wanted to talk to you about, I'm going to let you listen to the audio of this news report. I'm not sure. I'll let you know after we play this audio clip found on YouTube where you had this so-called Turkish and Ghanaian organized crime syndicates who operated a fake U.S. embassy for 10 years now, and they issued fraudulently obtained U.S. visas. Look, these weren't fake visas. These were real visas. But they were obtained somehow under fraudulent means. That tells me right there, they had to have inside help. They had to have, or else somebody for 10 years, the different people that was issuing these these visas. These weren't fake visas. These weren't somebody, you know, in a print shop somewhere making up some fake visas. These were obtained probably from the real U.S. embassy. If they were, where else would they get the U.S. visa from? And they were charging people $6,000 a pop. So here is a report that I found today. It was posted on YouTube under the title "Fake U.S. Embassy Busted in Ghana After a Decade of Issuing Visas," and this was published today from CCTV Africa. Let me go ahead and get my subscription as a Afro news source, and so I'm gonna go ahead and run this.
According to the State Department, this fake U.S. embassy was being run by an organized crime ring with members from Turkey and Ghana, including a Ghanaian attorney who practiced immigration and criminal law. Now, they were allegedly issuing legitimate but fraudulently obtained visas and birth certificates for about $6,000 per document. The operation was successfully shut down a few months ago, the State Department said recently, after an investigation that was coordinated by the Assistant Regional Security Officer Investigator at the real U.S. Embassy in Accra. Now, the local police force and the Detectives Bureau, along with other international partners, carried out several raids and arrested a number of different suspects. And during those raids, authorities also discovered a fake Dutch embassy. They also found and seized other authentic as well as counterfeit visas to India, South Africa, and the Schengen zone, plus 150 passports from 10 different countries, a laptop, and several smartphones. It seems the ring was bribing corrupt officials to either look the other way or supply legitimate blank documents that could be doctored. And that's according to a statement by the State Department that also described the fake embassy. It reportedly flew an American flag in its courtyard and was open three mornings a week for about a decade until this recent bust. But authorities say it's still unknown how many people have illegally entered the U.S. and other countries using these false documents. Mimi Chahiman, CCTV, New York.
Okay, so we appreciate that report from CCTV Africa. That is the YouTube channel. Let me see. But again, like I said, they had to have some corrupt officials, but let me guess, it's going to be like the International Criminal Court. This is how this investigation is going to turn out. No Americans were involved and they did no wrongdoing. They're only going to prosecute Africans. They're not going to prosecute any U.S. officials for any participation in this illegal scheme, which was a security threat. So this is why I'm not buying. This went on for a decade, people. This went on for a decade. Now, the U.S. intelligence services wants us to believe that, you know, this we had this global worldwide terrorism that they started fighting in 2000. So this started up in 2006. They had the Patriot Act. They have these global intelligence services like the CIA operating black sites all over, kidnapping people. You mean to tell me they ain't know nothing about this? I think they probably was using it. They probably was using it to get their assets in place wherever they wanted their assets, their human assets around the world. And then here's the plausible deniability. Oh, they got their passports from a fake Ghanaian embassy and whatnot. I'm telling you people, don't be so naive. The war on terror is a fraud. We want to talk about Africa. The biggest fraud perpetrated in Africa was the overthrow of the Gaddafi government. That, man, look at that place now. Teeming with terrorists. And racist terrorists at that. So, let me move on. And one of the things I found in a BBC article, it said that there were white people working at this fake U.S. embassy. And that's why some of the people were fooled and they thought it was a legitimate U.S. embassy. Because white people was in there. So surely these white people wouldn't be participating in crime. So obviously these must not have been. They're saying that it was no Americans involved in terms of the people working at this fake embassy. So they must be of European descent from some place in Europe, as she mentioned in that report from CCTV Africa, that they also had a fake Dutch embassy, but they didn't mention how long that was operating. Tell you, man, it's just ridiculous, man. Either this government is operating on levels of incompetence that is out of this world, or we're dealing with some corruption of a very, very evil nature. Moving on to the last article. Let's get to that story I was trying to queue up on YouTube about the Dakota. Well, it was trying to queue itself up, I should say. I'm still learning this new video software, so y'all bear with me. I'll get better. It would be easier if I had an assistant helping me right here in studio, but I don't. I do the best I can. The Obama administration and the Pentagon moved to block the Dakota Access Pipeline, arguing for an alternate route. Trump is said to be both in favor of this pipeline and stands to gain financially from the project's completion. So again, as y'all been hearing about all these conflicts of interest that Donald Trump is going to have when he takes the helm of as CEO of USA Inc. But the Obama administration, the Army Corps of Engineers, said that, you know what, these people don't want it here. Let's just reroute it. Let's find another route. But the company, the private corporation, said, oh, no, we don't want to find another route. Let's do like Custer did. Let's do like, you know, the U.S. military is known to do, especially the U.S. Army. Let's run these indigenous folks off their land. So in a rare move towards justice, the Obama administration is trying to find what we would call a mutual beneficial alternate route. Now, once Trump takes office, that could all change. They're going to send in their slave catchers, their private mercenaries. Of course, you're going to have state-sponsored slave catchers out there as well, as they've been participating. Now, let me go ahead and see if I can chew that story up properly on this software. Let's go here and pull it up. And this is from the BBC.
In the snows of North Dakota, they were digging in for the long haul. This camp is the largest gathering of Native Americans in living memory. They had come here to fight a pipeline which they say desecrated sacred sites and threatened tribal waters. The £3 billion pipeline is almost complete, apart from a short section under the Missouri. Energy Transfer partners insist its project is safe and legal. Now, though, the US Army has decided not to grant permission for that final stretch, saying alternate routes should be explored. In recent weeks, there have been bloody clashes between protesters and the authorities. Supporters of the pipeline fret that such violence may have helped their opponents win their argument. President-elect Donald Trump is in favor of the project, and Republicans here say the Army's decision is a chilling signal for the future of U.S. infrastructure. But the tribes here now feel that months of struggle has paid off, and the local Standing Rock Sioux people have praised the Obama administration for what they call a courageous and historic decision. James Cook, BBC News.
So the Republicans are concerned about the future of racism and white supremacy and not being able to follow in their fathers' and forefathers' footsteps of just murdering and robbing and pillaging indigenous folks, non-white folks, of their land here in the United States. Now, another thing that I think played a role in the decision is you had hundreds of U.S. veterans, former members of the United States military, like myself, turn out and stand in solidarity with these water protectors, as they are being called, of these indigenous tribes. They're saying that this is the largest gathering in recent memory of indigenous tribes gathering to protect their lands against USA Inc. All right. And so you had these veterans, and I reported last week, well, not on this particular program, but I made a YouTube video about the idiotic veterans. I don't know exactly how many. It might have only been 10, less than 100. Fox News got caught trying to inflate the number to 1,000. But you had this private college that had taken down the flag, the U.S. Flag, corporate flag, after students had taken one down earlier and burnt it in protest of Donald Trump's election, expressing their First Amendment right on their private campus that their parents paid good money for them to go to. This is in a public college. This is a private college. So the faculty decided, administrators decided that, you know what, let's let these young people cool down. We just not going to put the flag up right now. And we're going to leave it down, and we're just going to say all flags, no flags. We're not going to single out the U.S. flag. We're just going to say no flags will be flying anywhere on campus. Well, that's their right as a private college and university. So you had these veterans turn out and talk about, oh, this is disrespecting me, and you got to put the flag up, or you just hurting my feelings so bad like some little child or something. Come on, man. I get so sick of people trying to play that veteran's card. I'm a veteran. I don't think I should be treated any differently than anybody else. And I'm certainly not going to try to force people to run up the slaver's flag, because they still practicing slavery, up a flagpole. Not after I done come into the realization, the consciousness of what my participation in the military was actually doing. It was not to spread democracy or justice, but it was to spread the influence and power of racism, white supremacy, and to enrich corporations and their stockholders. So, I mean, that was just shameful. But now we got hundreds of veterans who are turning out to support these water protectors, and they've had meetings with the elders and the people that's in charge of the tribes that have gathered there, the council they put together, and respecting their wishes and what have you, and will take their orders from them. I would like to salute those veterans. That is how you honor your so-called oath to the U.S. Constitution. Because on paper, except for that 13th Amendment, no, I'm not even going to go there. That paper needs to be rewritten too. Them documents need to be changed. But if you want to talk about, you know, I stand for liberty, freedom, and justice for all, and that's why I wore that uniform, and even though I'm out now, I'm going to do something to stand up against the tyranny of USA Inc., I think that might have kind of changed some minds in the U.S. Army Corps engineer in the Pentagon and you know, ultimately in the Obama administration. So again, salute to you U.S. veterans for using your time, your energy for a very, very worthwhile cause. Because water is life. Life does not exist without it. So shout out to you all. All right, so we're going to wrap up the broadcast as we make way for a Tando Radio Show coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be back on air tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Hope that you'll tune in and tell a friend to also tune in. And, hey, I have very strong opinions, and I express those opinions very strongly, but I am not unapproachable. If you have any questions or even opposing views, you are welcome to share them on BTR News. Now, with that said, recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. They're practicing slavery. Racism is institutionalized. You got black codes that are in existence. All night non-white life is under threat and assault in this country. And it's not going, all of this injustice that is going on is not going to unravel itself. It's not going to correct itself. It's going to take a correction in its course, and that course correction can only be made by you, by me, by us. No one person, no one group can solve this problem. It is going to take a group effort. And I appreciate all efforts to implement a system of justice, no matter how small, no matter how large. Be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.